Hello, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I am Bob.
And this is the new comic listings for August 21st, 2019.
Yes.
I got that totally that time.
You did. 100%.
Totally. But then I called it out, and then I ruined it.
I know. I
should just flow with it, but...
Well, you know, that whole knowing what day it is thing is hard to master
in
the moment.
Now that I'm self-employed, it's really weird. I never really know what day it is, except for New Comic
except
Book Day.
Except for New Comic Book Day, which is today.
So I should probably know that at least.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the trick is that we're pretending it's a different day than it is.
It sure is a different day.
Throws a whole monkey in the wrench.
Exactly. So what do you want to talk about first?
Oh, we should probably talk about Powers of X first.
All right. Here's a book.
Neither one of us read it.
Neither of us read it, and it's like obviously the most important book going on right now.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, it's unflippable. You can't flip through this book. You got to sit and read it, and it is it looks pretty great. There's some just whoa.
Sorry, that was me.
That's okay.
Apologies.
That was my voice got really loud in my head. I thought I was having a stroke.
Nope, that was me. But I was the one giving you a stroke.
You gave me a stroke. You did a Kitty Pride thing where you phased your fingers into my brain and gave me a stroke.
Indeed.
So Powers of X number 3 is out. That's the 6th overall chapter in the new X-Men goodness. And it's out and it's good and you should get it.
And Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 2.
I did read this.
A wonderful little book.
Yep.
Really fun, heartwarming, and funny.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really cuts to the heart of who Jimmy Olsen is and his role in the overall Superman
and who mythos. Superman is too.
And who Superman is, yes. All the while calling back to many classic Silver Age things, but kind of modernizing them at the same time. All the while also just being fun, well drawn, well written. Great comic. Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 2. I've been waiting for it. It's here. I'm happy.
And History of the Marvel Universe number 2.
Ooh, this was a meaty volume.
Yeah, this is so incredible.
Yeah, it is cool.
There was
some really cool artwork
in
this one.
The art is so fun, and honestly the coloring is very standout in this. I love the color.
So it's
Javier Rodriguez who's penciling and coloring.
Yeah. Ooh.
Which is...
Well, that makes sense.
It's insane that he's such a good colorist. It's very rare that a penciler is this good a colorist.
He's great. He was great on Exiles. If you discover through the Mark Waid written History of the Marvel Universe number 2 that you really like this artist, go back and read Exiles. It's written by Salah Ahmed. It's drawn by this guy. He's amazing. It's amazing. This book is amazing. If you want to know how they're trying to make 80 years of continuity condense into a 10-year timeline, this week, you know, that makes it sound shitty. It's actually really fun and great. I dug it.
Yeah. Mm. Guardians of the Galaxy number 8.
Mm.
It's, did you
read it?
I did.
Yeah.
Still got some sad Rocket stuff. Rocket's in the process of kicking the bucket.
Yeah, I have to read. There's a fantastic, really kind of awesome Donny Cates written quiet moment between Cosmo the space dog and Lockjaw the inhuman dog. But overall, there's some stuff with the origin of Rocket, and I'm wondering if it's like retcon or if this is actually like they never told the origin of Rocket before.
I mean, the origin of Rocket is that he was raised in an insane asylum full of space clowns.
That's what I remembered. I remember
yes.
there being
the
more
Mike
space
Mignola
clowns.
Miniseries was an insane asylum run by clowns that gave him cybernetic accessories.
Right.
If I remember correctly, and I'm pretty sure that that's difficult to forget.
Did that tie into Obnoxio the Clown by any way?
I hope so.
Do you remember X-Men versus Obnoxio the Clown? I don't remember it. I just remember that it existed. And I think I own a copy of it somewhere.
I think everybody owns a copy of that book. It's kind of everywhere.
It's like the Fantastic Four roast. Just like for some reason, maybe no one has that but me.
It shows up in a ton of collections. It's one of those books that's just like always in every collection I buy. You'll find the Obnoxio the Clown book.
Well, it's like one of those things where it's like you're never going to not get it.
I guess
in that way my Fantastic Four roast is probably not the most, but that's another one where it's like I don't.
Isn't that a Fred Hembeck book?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, it's like framed by, and then it has like other artists and writers. It's literally a roast of the Fantastic Four in comic book form.
So good.
Yeah.
Daredevil 10.
Yeah, Daredevil Criminal called and they want their logo back.
Oh,
ouch.
Shit.
But no, Daredevil number 10 is actually super awesome. And a guy who has been illustrating Batman recently is doing the art on this issue of Daredevil, and it is awesome. I thought it had just fantastic. What's his name? Jorge Fornes, and it's written by Chip Zdarsky. Sorry if I pronounced it wrong. But how he illustrates the radar sense is cool. You know, I never knew that there were so many different cool ways to illustrate the radar sense of Daredevil.
So cool.
Yeah.
There's so many good moments of that in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah. Another thing that I'd actually like to talk about real quick is Marvel Action Captain America number one.
Captain Marvel.
Sorry. Marvel Action Captain Marvel Action Captain Marvel.
Marvel America. Maybe you say Marvel America Captain Action. I don't know. It's Captain Marvel, Marvel Action. It's actually...
From America.
It's from America. It's an American comic.
This book
it's
rules.
Good. Yeah, the art and
that
story
was really fun.
It was nice to read like a just like a straight up like cute Captain Marvel story.
Agreed, and also the Flerkin really, you know, it's such a perfect character to bring into something like this.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of cute cats and you know
all kinds of
all
animals.
Sorts of tentacles and
there's
monsters.
Some tentacles. There's
some
other,
space stuff.
Yeah, there's some cool. It's Captain Marvel versus pets.
There you go.
Which is actually pretty great.
I also would like to talk about one of my favorite books of this week. Mm. Superman Year One, number two, book two of this. I'm just unendingly impressed by this book.
Hmm.
I was expecting a lot of bad things from this. Just given the track record of the last 7 years of Frank Miller's output.
Yeah, and
I expected
honestly,
it to be very, very bad.
And some of Romita's
as well, of course. Romita has done some bad things. His Avengers stuff is some of my least favorite art in the history of Marvel. And I'm not a huge Romita fan. I liked him, or Romita Jr.,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah.
But I liked him in Spider-Man. I've liked him in a few things, you know, Kick-Ass, whatever. But man, the art I love.
So this is Superman Year One, number two from DC's Black Label.
Yeah, and
by Frank Miller and John
and
Romita
he's
Jr.
It's still. I was really worried because I keep hearing that this is going to be a dark story and it is going to take a turn and it's going to be another like. And then Superman decides to shoot the president in the face and then he you know buys a boat and he sinks it full of orphans because he thinks it's funny or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. But it's not. It's so far.
No, it's
so far.
It's,
it continues to have the heart and soul of Superman that I want to see in Superman books. He's a good guy. He's always trying to not kill people, which is really important.
Yes. And there's a particular instance in this book that's like, okay, that's cool that he didn't kill that person.
Yeah. There's some real weird moments, but yeah. There's
Superman
some
joins the Navy in this. I'm just going to say that.
That is weird.
It's weird. It's a little left turn. There's a lot of, so it's cool. To me, that it's like the origin with some new twists. I'm just, you know, sorry, I cut you off.
No, not at all. I agree that it's weird. I think it's not the choice that I would have gone with, obviously, but.
It's canon, though.
But it
Superman
is.
Superman did actually join the Navy in the Golden Age.
So there you go. That's probably why they did it.
I mean, it was, well, sort of. Maybe. It might be. It might be an homage. There's like this. If you read the first. I think it's like two or three issues of Action Comics. The stuff that goes on in that, like I stand by it. Like the original Superman comics are
great.
Absolutely awesome. And he does actually like, there's a guy that's like selling weapons and he wants him to experience what his weapons do firsthand. So he enlists them both into the army of a foreign country that is fighting a war. Because this is pre-World War II, so it's not like there's wars going on, but there's no American war. And then they go and they fight. And when the guy sees the effects of all of his bombs that he's making in his munitions factory, he like immediately becomes like a pacifist. And like then Superman's like, all right, we're out of the army now.
Nice.
And takes him back home and is like, and then like kicks him or something. I don't know. Like, Superman in the old ones is kind of like he's not an asshole, but he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm tougher than you, so what?
Yeah, there's also the one where the guy stabs him And
he's like,
"Oh, I could have caught him.
It tickles.
I could have caught him, but he stabbed me, and I guess he probably deserved to fall off this building."
Oh, so, yeah. Actually, no, that's Batman.
No, this was a Superman
comic. Oh, there's
comic
a Superman one?
Where he was like, "I didn't, you know, he couldn't hurt me by stabbing me, but it distracted me, so I couldn't catch him. But he's a jerk, so he deserved to die."
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you follow the Amazing Spider-Gram on Instagram.
I do, but I'm not, but he posted, like, religiously.
Yeah, he posted one of those.
Oh, nice. Because there's definitely that first Batman story where he, like, just tosses a guy off a roof. It's like, yep, fitting end for his kind. Pretty great.
All right, so moving on. Year of the Villain, Black Mask.
Okay, this comic is actually really good.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Tom Taylor.
Tom Taylor's writing it. Cully Hamner is drawing it. And it is basically a Batwoman comic with Black Mask as the title.
Yep.
It has Renee Montoya and Batwoman. And then they fight Black Mask. And that whole Lex Luthor being half Martian shows up thing is going on. But it's like not really. Like, this is the first like Year of the Villain thing that's specifically like Year of the Villain thing that I've been like, cool, you know.
Did you read the Sinestro?
I didn't read it.
That Mark Russell wrote?
No, yeah, I haven't read it. No, I didn't.
We didn't sell a single copy of that.
Well, I didn't know he wrote it.
Is that insane?
We didn't read it. We didn't even talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't, like, I just saw Year of the Villain Sinestro, and there was a bunch of other stuff, and I didn't know it was him. I actually feel really bad. He's, like, my favorite writer.
We didn't sell one on the web. We didn't sell one in the store. Like,
so you still have copies, is what you're saying.
I have copies.
Yeah, you got to
get that. Bizarre. Like, there are very few books that we sell no copies of, and that was a...
Well... I mean, even honestly, like, it's a Sinestro
right
comic.
I mean,
it's
I should have known,
like, you know,
with
like
our Green Lantern numbers in general, except for when Grant Morrison's writing it. Yeah. I should have known.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's out there. It's good. I hear, and I will pick it up at some point when I can budget it.
Yes.
But now we are going to talk about... Actually, I'm just going to say Weatherman number 3 came out really quick. Jody LaHoop and Nathan Fox. Continuing the storyline of a comic that I very much like. It has great art. And I didn't read it because I was late. But it looks great. And I will get it and read it. And I like the comic.
Nice. Jane Foster Valkyrie.
Mm. Yeah.
That's out.
Yeah. She's fighting Bullseye in this.
She's fighting Bullseye, who has Dragon Fang.
Yeah, oh, the Valkyries. The sword previous
of,
dead
sword
Valkyries
of the Valkyrie.
Sword. Brunhild is dead.
Yes.
And Bullseye has her sword.
And also has control of her Pegasus horse, her flying horse,
yeah,
whatever it's called.
It's kind of a fickle dickhead.
Well, as long as you hold on to the sword, you control the horse.
Yeah, they ought to get some kind of, like, you know, fail safe.
I think she just did in this issue.
Yeah.
I think there's a failsafe that was engaged in this particular issue.
Created and
very
engaged.
Cool.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
I liked this issue. Thought it was fun. Yeah. Again, I like the Jane Foster character, even though she's not Thor. I think it's cool.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. She is a great character. And it's written by Jason Aaron and Al Ewing, who are both awesome.
Yep.
Drawn by Kafu.
Goon number one. Goon. Or number one. Number four.
Number four.
Number four.
Number four.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great. It's the Goon. It's great. It looks great. It reads great. It's awesome.
There's a great panel of someone being eaten that
the rest of this podcast is just going to be Tristan reading the Goon.
I really
in real
love
time,
it. I love it so much.
Reacting to each panel.
Yeah, you
actually,
should.
You know, I've heard worse podcasts.
I've heard similar podcasts. Fearless number two. The fiercest ladies of the Marvel Universe are uniting for this comic book.
Which is kind of not really true because it's a bunch of individual stories, but the reason I slapped this one on the pile for talking about is because it has a huge full-length Night Nurse comic.
I was going to say, okay, yeah.
That actually is well-drawn, and it's not just like some kind of throwaway-looking, like... I'm not going to say any names of people who do a throwaway thing because that's negative. But it's great. It's great.
But
it's
also Stegron. It's Night Nurse versus Stegron.
It is. And Night Nurse versus, you know, jerks in general.
Just jerks
also
in general.
Doctor Strange makes an appearance, and I think there's some kind of Invisible Woman story at the beginning.
But you can't tell because she's invisible.
Well, I skipped it because it didn't appeal to me.
Fair Lady exists.
So Fair Lady is actually a really, really cool comic. And this one in particular, each one is like a done in one story. And this one, like, honestly, like, if you're a fan of... Remember the palindrome comic from Ice Cream Man?
Yes.
Like, if you're a fan of that kind of a thing, of like someone being like, how can we make a single comic book read in a really cool way that exploits the medium? I think that Fair Lady number 5 would be a good one for that specific comic reader. It is very, very well constructed. The story is really cool. And then visually, it's just really cool. I think it's a great series, honestly. Cool. From Image, Shermer, Balboni, and Louise's Fair Lady.
Nice.
Number 5.
Deadpool Annual number 1.
Yeah,
is out.
I didn't like this very much.
This is a Nightmare story. I did not read it.
Right. He fights Nightmare. That's right.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a Deadpool annual story. You just get it for the cover where he's like riding a unicorn.
Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool is also out.
Deadpool, yes.
And this would be...
I'm specifically ignoring the crossovers for an experiment.
This would be one of these books that I would say makes no sense and has no reason to exist except for the history of Deadpool wearing multiple symbiotes, and they're looking, obviously, in this series.
He wore symbiotes?
He wore 5 at once.
5 symbiotes at once. Like established symbiotes or just like ones he got from somewhere?
Some of the weirder ones, I can't remember what they were. He went into a lab. It was in a Carnage story, I believe. Oh. I think it was in one of the Superior Carnage, maybe.
Hmm.
One of those stories.
Okay.
But he went into a lab and literally had 5 different symbiotes on him at once.
Weird.
Because I think he was broken into 5 pieces, maybe.
Oh,
it's something like that.
Huh.
Deadpool. I do not remember it very well, but I know that he was definitely that. And also, oh no, that was a what if. But yeah, in one of these stories, he wore 5 symbiotes at once, which makes him a prime candidate to be chased by someone looking for all the codexes because he has 5 codexes in him. Then,
oh, he's got all those codexes. Kanan has no codexes.
No, he has a savage sword, however.
But he has a savage sword, and this is part 2 of a story that is illustrated by Patch Zercher, and it has fantastic art, and it is a great Conan comic. I would recommend it if you're looking for a Conan comic in the sea of Conan comics that are coming out. Perhaps this one is a cut above the rest.
And, of course, written by Jim Zub.
Yeah.
But, man, Patch Zercher.
Yeah,
if your name is Patch Zercher... You are destined to draw a Conan comic at some point in your life.
He was Patrick Zercher for a really long time, and then he just like all of a sudden now he's just Patch, which and that's
good call.
I follow him on. I've interacted with him like retweety kind of like stuff on Twitter. He's a good tweeter, and he did this one that broke down the different logos. He analyzed the different logos.
That guy. Oh, that was him.
Oh, wait, no, is that the guy? No, that was Brad Walker.
Because I really enjoyed that was really cool.
But Patch Zercher does similar stuff to that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Like where he'll like just like talk about different like comic things that are interesting.
Awesome. Blade
also,
Runner,
he's a really good artist.
2019 number 2.
Yeah,
it continues to be a Blade Runner story.
It is a Blade Runner story.
Should I liked
talk
it.
About this.
I was going to talk about this thing that
okay,
is.
You talk about that.
Well, this is the thing that everybody wants to talk about.
This is
probably the most talked about book of the week. This is
really?
Batman number 77. The City of Bane story continues. There's a major death ?
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that's, I mean, it's obviously all the internet is abuzz because they want to take everything at face value.
Yes.
And taking this at face value seems a very silly thing to do with the way that things went down in this book.
Yes, it does.
But that said, it basically Damian goes ballistic on everybody.
Yeah, there will be a lot of outraged people who read this and
I'm
outraged.
I feel like there are going to be a lot of outraged people when it turns out to be a dream again.
Well, when it turns out to be whatever it is, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect the people making this book. It is really well drawn, and I will say that, but... yeah, no, I just am literally at this point ignoring this book.
Okay, so Vampirella number 2. You want to talk about a book that went from 0 to 100 in one issue.
Yeah.
First issue, I was like, good job, guys. You kept it kind of like, it's nice that this is a low-key kind of experiment. And like, taking a character that's kind of over the top, like Vampirella, it's going to be a good idea that you take this nice and slow and we don't have any crazy blood orgies. Or, and then issue 2. Wow, look, a crazy blood orgy. Yeah. Lesbian sex. Werewolf sex. Oh, Jesus, what is going on here?
But it's written by Christopher Priest. That's the craziest thing.
Whatever, man. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just flipped through it. Like, it looks more interesting than most Vampirella comics.
Yeah, I think the fact of the matter is that this is fun. I mean, yeah. I like crazy shit like this. And if you can go as far as this book does without making it an Avatar book, I'm going to stay on board with you. Like, as long as this stays clear of being crossed, I'm going to be on board. It just, when it takes that extra step, it loses me.
Yeah.
And so I think Christopher Priest knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no,
and
absolutely.
I think it's going to be great.
Also, Ergun Gundus.
Ergun Gundus.
I like the artist's name. It's got a lot of umlauts.
Pretty Violent, number 1, from Derek Hunter and Jason Young, with, I believe, coloring by Spencer Holt, or...
Sure.
Right? Yes, colors by Spencer Holt. And I'm not getting...
Tongue-in-cheek, super violent superhero parody. Would be my takeaway from this.
That's basically it. Somebody said, what if you took the Powerpuff Girls and mashed it with Invincible?
Oh.
And that's kind of it. It's like a super powered, cutesy, looks like I Hate Fairyland kind of thing.
I actually really thought it had something to do with Scotty Young, but it doesn't.
It does not. It is just sort of cutesy violence. It's going to sell well to the Hot Topic crowd. It's cool. It's fine. Mm. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Nightwing, number 63, has Nightwing. And I don't
care.
Derek
Hunter drew it and created it, and then it was written by Derek Hunter and Jason Young. If that solves your... That was pretty violent.
I was wondering who the letterer was, but it's not credited, actually.
Nightwing.
Because ever since having Taylor Esposito letter our book and realizing how important it was that he did that, and him being like, I never get credit from anybody whenever they review the books. It's like, the letterers are so fucking important.
Well,
I don't think anybody gets that. Because I've seen... I mean, I hate to say something negative about somebody who I think is one of the most amazing people in the world, but Eric Powell, like, is like, it's fine, I'll letter it with a computer, and it's like,
ew. I mean, I'm so used to computer lettering that I can't say that I like have like a...
Plenty of it is literally lettered with a computer. It's just... It doesn't look the same when it's not a real letterer who knows what the fuck they're doing.
And when you see like the kind of like technical skill that goes into it, it is really a shame that we don't, with every single comic that we talk about, like list like the entire creative team.
We should be a little better at that.
We should. I mean, I try to do like, yeah, we should. You're right.
Absolutely.
Sorry, all of
but
the letterers.
But editors can go to hell.
Actually, a good editor is probably like as important as anything else. And that's what happens when you have like these terrible Batman comics. It's like, cause someone's just like, yeah, go. Sure. You got a story and you don't care what the characters are. Yeah. Just use these guys. Like, you know, I don't know, whatever it is that DC is doing with that. Like it's a balance, you know, like, but I just like grew up reading comics where the editor's voice was part of it as well, like Archie Goodwin and
I agree.
You know, even like the early Superman stuff that I read as a kid, the Julius Schwartz and like, you know, Carmine.
No,
and
I agree.
Tino, like, I mean, not that I really was around for him being an editor, but like I've appreciated a lot of the stuff that happened when he was like an editor in chief, and like just like how that structure, you know, it really is. Everyone is important.
Yeah, I agree.
We should probably really.
Well, too bad. because I don't know everybody. But Marvel Action Spider-Man is out.
And the first one we list everyone's creative is this Marvel one, Action Spider-Man.
I'm not listing anybody.
No,
I'm just telling you that it's out.
Yeah, it's out. It's actually it's cool because it has like this is the book that you would recommend to someone who likes Into the Spider-Verse because especially a kid because it has all of those characters in it.
And actually,
it doesn't look anything like it, but it has the characters in it, and that was cool.
Did we skip over Ghost Spider?
No, it's right here.
Okay, Ghost Spider, number one.
That
would be another book that I would recommend to someone who likes Spider-Verse. It's another teen. This is the closest to the Spider-Verse movie version of Spider-Gwen that you're going to get, and she is now Ghost Spider.
I feel like the Spider-Verse version of Spider-Gwen is actually pretty close to the comic book version of Spider-Gwen.
To that first issue, to the Edge of Spider-Verse number two. I feel like that is very similar. But I think that a lot of those series kind of drifted in and out. But this feels very teen-friendly.
Yep, they brought her into the
drama
mainstream.
Low. She's 616. Spider-Man is in the same universe as her.
Yep, and I think that was cool.
Yeah, I think this is... I just feel like she's kind of like they've thrown it at the wall a bunch of times and they haven't changed much, but I feel like this is probably where it's going to stick.
I just think they need to give Jason Latour a Spider-Verse book that comes out every month.
Ooh, that would be amazing.
That's what I would like. But anyway, Ghost Spider was good. It was fun. It's a number one. They brought the alternate universe Gwen Stacy with Spider-Man powers to the regular spider world where all the Marvels live, and it's written by Shannon McGuire, Takeshi Miyazawa drew it, Ian Heron colored it, VC's Clayton Kausk lettered it, Jorge Molina did the cover, and there's a lot of variants, and I'm drawing the line at variant cover artists. Sorry.
This book is really good.
Oh, the Avengers
Marvel Action Avengers is really good.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's really strange. These Marvel Action titles are actually really enjoyable.
Yeah,
they're sort of the teen and just slightly under teen kind of titles.
Well, they're really like mass market audience oriented. So there's not like we're gonna kill your favorite blah blah blah. It's just like here's Thor.
Yeah,
he's hitting things with a hammer. Here's Captain America. He's got his mighty shield. Here's Captain Marvel flying
and
around.
UFOs because
what is that line with MODOK? It's actually really good.
MODOK is nothing if not approachable.
yeah, it has MODOK. It has some other cool villains in it too.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy this book. Manning, Florentino, Proto Bunker.
Proto Bunker.
You know, if they're just going to give themselves computer names, they can't be surprised when computers take their jobs.
Also, I think we can skip computer names.
I think Proto Bunker is a real person.
Okay, he probably is.
I think he's probably just a DJ in his spare time.
Another high point of the week for I, and also I know for you, is Last Stop on the Red Line from Dark Horse, number 3. By Paul Mayberry, Sam Lotfy, John Rausch, Adam Pruitt, and editor is Patrick Thorpe. the horror-themed, bizarre, set on the Boston train murder / supernatural / crazy, but with amazing art and really interesting story. I really like this book, but unfortunately it has been so long since I read the last one, I'm not sure what happened and I only skimmed this one, so I'm only gonna say I like it. It's great.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Magnificent Miss Marvel number 6,
the Magnificent Miss Maisel number 6.
Yes. This book is great. It started turning around finally. Because, I mean, Saladin Ahmed is such a great writer. I've always been surprised at this book is not as good as the other things that he had done. I felt like the first 3 or 4 issues were very, I don't know, just kind of boring. They just didn't do anything for me whatsoever. And he's usually very, at least good with a turn of phrase or something fun that will be memorable in each issue. This issue, however, has lots of memorable stuff.
Oh, cool.
And is very fun and has a really interesting little fight scene and a fun little moment. And I love that they're like, and it has the Iron Man in it. And the Iron Man part is so subsidiary and hilarious. It's cool. It's what I was hoping this book would be. And so I'm glad that it's kind of starting to see it's starting to hit its pace, I think.
Oh, the Iron Man moment is actually really great.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
For him to be on the cover is a little bit of
it's kind of hilarious.
I mean, whatever.
Kind of a red herring, but yeah, also cool in that way.
Certainly what happens on the cover does not take place inside. But this is by Saladin Ahmed, Minkyu Young, Juan Velasco, and Ian Herring. And it is edited by Alana Smith.
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
Cool. Tony Stark, Iron Man, a book that I do not follow at all.
I do not follow it. I did not flip through it.
But
it
is out.
It's passing Tony Stark, Iron Man, number 15 yep. by Slot, Zub, and
Ramirez, Mana, Delgado.
Delgado. Who's the editor? Let's find out.
Okay. While you're looking for that, I'm going to tell you.
Tom Brevoort.
Oh, of course it is.
Tom Brevoort.
Aliens Rescue. Number 2.
Yeah, I didn't even open this one. I'm sorry, Brian Wood. I really like you, and I like the aliens, and I'm sorry. I was so late.
Yeah, this was we're running late today, so we haven't gotten a lot of stuff done. But what I do like about this in a quick flip through is the fact that it reminds me an awful lot artistically of the Dark Horse era of the 90s.
Huh.
It reminds me of the art style of like the Alien versus Predator of the like Dark Horse Presents. That's what I meant to say.
Hmm.
It's that like older style. It's got a very, I don't know, a much more colorful Aliens book than we've seen for a while. They've been kind of gritty and down to earth and like three colors or like less.
Yeah, this
like,
is cool.
This is like it's daytime. There's bright colors. There's aliens out in like brightly lit fields. Which is something that they used to do a lot in the old Dark Horse books, where it was just kind of like, instead of trying to make it scary, they were just like, it's a crazy adventure. It was more like they're just crazy wild animals that are attacking, which was always kind of fun. And there's usually some dumb scientist that's like, I'm going to use it to make a serum that's going to make me live forever or whatever. And that was always kind of a side plot to all those Dark Horse stories. Fun.
It has an amazing cover. Also, I was just flipping through it and I noticed this book Strayed.
Yes.
Number 1. I didn't bring that.
Oh,
I didn't read
okay.
it. I did read it.
We should
talk about it because I didn't realize it was a number 1.
Yeah, sure. Strayed is a space cat story.
Huh.
It's fun. It makes me worried about like it's one of those books where you're like if you're an animal lover and you read these books, you're like, "Ah, oh, this is a big like space adventure that puts like a bunch of cats in harm's way. This is going to be rough."
Well, it says but, here, the thematic concept at the very heart of Strayed is that the bond between a human and their pet can save humanity.
Yes. And one of the things that they do is that there's kind of a We Three element of a collar that allows the cat to talk and also kind of understand humans. So the cat has kind of a little... It's actually very much like the Scooby Apocalypse device, except that was like little thought bubbles that just sort of popped in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just sort of like somebody picks up the cat and it's like, contented. And it just says contented.
Contented.
You know, or whatever. It has little phrases that it can say. Like when it wants to come into a room, it's like, I want to come in, you know, or
it
whatever.
Says, Teddy Ruxpin loves you.
Teddy Ruxpin loves you. Yeah, it's cool. It's cute and all of those things. And it also has a big space evil that is revealed at the end.
Oh.
The art's cool.
I wish I had checked it out.
Yeah, it's cool. It's another one of those things. Cat books are going to have an audience. You know, it's tough to not want to read a book about an adorable cat. It also kind of makes me want to write a book about a cat.
That's why I named my band Cat Food.
Exactly. All right.
Next, I'm going to say briefly that Hellboy and the BPRD has a new 3-issue miniseries called Saturn Returns. It is by Mike Mignola, Scott Alley, Christopher Mitten, and Brennan Wagner, and it is set in 1975, and it is Hellboy, and Liz Sherman is in it as a young character, and I like that they've gotten away from the Hellboy and the BPRD like year kind of thing, and they're just like,
yes.
Yeah, here's Hellboy,
Hellboy
and the BPRD. It's just what Hellboy comics are
right
now. This one's set in 1975, has cool art. I didn't really, like I said, I was late. I didn't read everything, but it looks good to me as a Hellboy fan. It looks worth.
Yeah. So Angel number two, we have we got printings of this back in. So second printings. We have some. We kind of fucked up on Angel, honestly.
It ended because, up being kind of important.
Well, so here's the thing: is that we didn't get it really. We like missed the first issue. We got zero. Missed the first issue. Nobody said anything. And I was like, well, that's weird. Maybe they just were relying on us for this. So we got it in. And it didn't sell very well. And then I started noticing, like, the art's okay. But, like, they're doing things, like, with this issue. Like, here's the... and it's like...
cover is terrible.
The cover's terrible because it's also a page.
Oh.
Like, fuck you.
What the hell?
And also, it's the back cover.
What the hell? Is this part of the Buffy thing where it ties in? Is it like the different universe where things are different?
Yes, it is. It is that. And I don't think that they have met yet.
But said this is a second printing?
This is a second printing. Okay, so at who least knows?
That
maybe
kind of makes
maybe
sense.
That justifies it. But it was weird. Either way, it's strange.
It actually doesn't have horrible art.
It does not have horrible art. It's a Buffy book, but it is not. The Buffy main series is of the highest quality, and this is not quite up to that standard, let's say.
Well, it is written by Brian Edward Hill. It is drawn by Gleb Melnikov. There's also Gabriel Casata. There is also, that's coloring, lettered by Ed Dukeshire and edited by Janine
Perfect.
Schaefer or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Death's Head is out, number two. I really enjoy this take on Death's Head. He has a devil lock now. It's just kind of trippy, but like kind of punk rock. It's fun. And it's written by Teeny Howard, drawn by Kazama, colored by Philippe Sobiro, lettered by VC's Travis Lanham, and it is edited by Sarah Bernstad. I'd say they did a good job. They very much got the spirit of the old British comics with the cover. This is very like Brian Bolland, Judge Dredd style, like,
yep,
character with the face saying something funny about the circumstance he's in. Yeah, no, it's great. I like Death's Head, number two. I've enjoyed both issues of Death's
Head. So good. Shockingly good. I will say. So
I'm not shocked. I would actually kind of expect that it would have been good.
Aquaman, 51.
I really liked it. This book
from
lost
the first
me.
Hellboy movie.
Yeah, totally.
Monster design totally bitten from them.
Yeah, that's totally bitten. That's true.
But still fun.
But so... the first like 5-6 issues of this relaunched Aquaman from Kelly Sue DeConnick and Robson Rulka lost me very quickly. I wanted to like it. It was cool because it took the Aquaman out of the whole Justice League superhero, blah, 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 gave him his own new supporting cast, like this whole kind of thing that was like on paper, great. I just did not enjoy reading it. And then this... is just more like the movie of Aquaman. It's like he's just kind of a Brave and the Bold style, like doing crazy shit, thinking things are funny. But then also they brought the new Aqualad character who, you know, from like Young Justice and pre-New 52. Like,
is he Tempest or is he...
No, he's Aqualad.
He is actually Aqualad.
He becomes, in Young Justice, he's Aquaman.
Okay.
Becomes Aquaman.
He ages into the role
as it were, as similar to like how Wally did with the Flash, right. Except for they killed Wally in Young Justice, so he didn't get a chance. But
he never became Flashman like he was supposed to.
In Portugal, Flash is called Flushman. That's a trivia that I will never stop quoting for the rest of my life.
It's a good one.
So anyway, as most of these Year of the Villain Dark Gifts covers, they show something that does not even remotely occur in the comic. Basically, the comic is like kind of more of a status quo with Aquaman and Aqualad, and then also with what's going on in Atlantis with Mira and Vulko. But it was just, it was a fun superhero-y kind of like that kind of, that's the kind of superhero comic that, that I'm interested in reading, for the mainstream stuff. It was a lot of fun. So number 51 made me want to go back and read the last issue, which good job, because I had skipped it. And there is, briefly going to mention, there's a facsimile edition of Batman number 232. DC may be upset that their reprints sell so much, but when they look this good, they are going to sell. They put it on newsprint. It has all the original ads, just like, but it feels like an old comic, just on somewhat nicer paper.
Yeah, I love that they went that route instead of the glossy.
Yeah, me too. Anything they do like this from a classic, like, I will 100% like consider at the very least.
I'm absolutely going to double my orders for all of those now on.
If they keep it off of the glossy paper, this is the first appearance of
At the time, it was Ra's al Ghul.
Okay, Ra's al Ghul.
It is now Ra's al Ghul.
It is Ra's al Ghul.
He is now, I may be going back. The original creator said when he created him, he was based on a friend of his whose name was Ra's, somebody he met in like somewhere.
Okay.
Somebody named Ra's he knew. Then he said, but everybody wants to pronounce it Ra's, so he's totally cool with it being Ra's.
Okay,
that was George Perez, right?
No, Neil Adams. It would be Denny O'Neill. Neil Adams.
Denny O'Neill. Yeah, that must have been
Denny O'Neill was the writer, I believe.
This was from somebody. This was from another podcast listened to a million years ago. What was it?
Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Dick Giordano.
No, this was a pronunciation issue that they were having as well, which was George Perez as opposed to George Perez.
Oh.
He is Perez and actually kind of gets annoyed with people who pronounce his name differently.
I mean, why not?
There you go. Well, I have no idea.
I actually did not know that, and I'm happy to know.
Yeah, and that was from Comic Geek Speak was the podcast. I used to listen to them all the time. I have fallen off with them, but I might actually check them back out again.
Huh.
But I remember they had an interview with someone associated with this, and they were like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It is a fun reprint. I think I do think it's a little overpriced, but at the same time, the packaging is nice. We have finally to talk about what is apparently the penultimate issue of original content Mad Magazines, number nine. And it's really great. It's really sad to me that Mad is not going to have original content anymore. I don't know what they could really do about it, I guess. For whatever reason, it's something that they feel I guess it's that thing where it's like you have to kind of take it away for people to realize what they have. So maybe it'll return in some kind of form. But hopefully it doesn't return in the form of like $700 newsstand, like grocery store, like end cap,
ooh,
like tribute editions, like Time Magazine.
I don't know, man. I still hope it does what I was hoping. I still hope it does the thing where it comes back as Tales to Drive You Mad in comic book form.
Ooh.
They do like some sort of like tribute to the old style. It comes back. They release like a number one, and they get a little run out of that. That fizzles. Then the grand reveal that Mad is coming back, and then we'll get a new number one, and that'll push it again.
Yeah,
I think it's in the cards.
They should
just have
every issue be number one.
Marvel has done that with their kids' books, with the Marvel superheroes books.
Just
every single one's a number
change,
one.
Little title change every time.
It's
honestly,
it's so much easier to sell it to parents. It makes it so much easier to be like, this is number one. They're all number one. If you like Captain Marvel in your Spider-Man book, that's this one.
Yeah.
If you like The Thing in your Spider-Man book, that's this one.
Yeah.
Like, so easy.
Number one. There'll never be a number two. Ever.
No, never. That's great. Those books are perfect as is. I'll call them all number one, and then we can sell them to parents who just want to get their kid a comic.
Yeah, right on. Should I review the trade?
Oh, yeah, because I don't remember anything. The only thing I do remember is that way ahead of schedule, the Saga omnibus dropped. The every single issue of Saga in one gigantic phone book came out.
Whoa. Well, that was a spoiler because that was upcoming. You have Star Wars Age of Rebellion villains. You have Star Wars The Scourging of Shoe Torum. I'm not kidding. That is literally what it's called.
George Lucas names.
You have Fantastic Four Epic Collection, Lee Kirby, The Mystery of the Black Panther, which I would assume reprints the original Black Panther comics.
I might buy that.
You have Archie versus Predator, a mashup for the ages, USA Today. You have Deep Red Magazine, latest issue.
Oh, man. Okay, so
first issue or something?
It is the first issue of Volume 4 of Deep Red Magazine, a sort of more mature version of like a Fangoria or whatever. Mm. This thing is awesome.
It's gory.
There is an entire... Well, it's interesting because they went really way over the top with the gore for the cover, but it's not an entirely very gory magazine as a rule. It does have more mature content than a lot of them do, but I mean, there's a... I don't know. It seemed very long, probably like a 10 or 15 page article written by Steve Bissett about his era of horror magazines that he was doing and all of his stuff. And he's also interviewing someone, and there's a bunch of cool stuff. It's written by him instead of being about him.
Cool.
Which is super cool.
Nice.
And in that vein, there's a lot of great stuff in this magazine.
Nice.
It's like, if you are a legit horror fan, this is the kind of thing that you're looking for. It's not as... I mean, even Fangoria is a little fluffier than this. It's like black and white. There's an interview with Michael Weldon from Psychotronic.
I don't know what that means.
The Psychotronic video magazine.
Oh.
You worked at Videoport and you don't remember Psychotronic Video Guide?
Sorry, I totally do.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, the Psychotronic Video Guide creator, who is one of the most amazing cult movie people ever, you know, part of my... getting a love for cult movies is reading the Psychotronic Video Guide. I mean, it's such a huge influence on me.
Was that like bimonthly or was it monthly?
The magazine? I think it just came out whenever the fuck you felt like it.
I feel like it had some kind of like, I used to just like...
I think it was quarterly if I had to guess. It didn't feel like it was coming out on any kind of real regular basis.
Yeah, but I just know I never really got to check them out because like I didn't ever want to like buy them. Every once in a while I bought one, but...
I bought them religiously. I had a full collection from one to whenever it ended.
Wow.
Like, I literally, beginning to end, had the whole Psychotronic series, moved 17 times, finally just gave everything away, and I regret it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I regret giving away all my Transmetropolitan comics. And actually all my Hitman comics as well.
I think Adam wants to sell me all his comics, so I think he has those.
When he does, if we can...
I think you can just buy them back from him.
Yeah, that's sad. I don't want to buy back my old comics.
Why not? What if they're really cheap?
Well, if they're really cheap, I would.
I bet they are.
I mean, I sold them really cheap.
I bet they're the same price.
Adam
seems to want to get some stuff out of his space, so...
Yeah, cool. Neat. Hi, Adam. So then there's a trade that's called Alien Nation, and it looks weird. It's some kind of like...
The Silver Sprocket thing?
I don't know. It looks like this.
No, I don't know what that is.
Huh. It's like an arty, neat looking indie arty kind of thing.
There was a cool book from Silver Sprocket. I can't remember which one it was.
X-Men Grand Design by Ed
Piskor. The new one, yeah.
Extinction. Amazing World of Gumball. The Stork.
Those are really fun. If you're looking for kids' books, especially if the kids are into the Gumball series, these are very in the same spirit. Craziness, really fun.
Nice. Something called Girl in the World.
Got me.
This...
That is the Silver Sprocket book.
That was the time on Silver Sprocket when we danced.
Exactly.
Something called Imanon.
Yep.
Oh, that's a manga.
Yeah, it's one of those mangas that I don't know nothing about.
And then the Saga phone book.
Yep.
And then a weird... I do a pano, and the thing it did to your floor is very trippy. Aquaman by Steve Skeets and Jim Aparo. That's cool.
It is really cool. It's
I can't
a nice,
believe I took a picture of this and didn't even see it.
It's a really nice hardcover.
Oh, nice.
Which means it's only like five issues, but it's five really cool issues.
I don't know. Some of those ones, they because this is a pretty lengthy run, so they do that paper that's really thin.
Yeah.
Like when there's like a Darwyn Cook one that's like, it's insane. It's like a Catwoman by Darwyn Cook, but it's like, there's like twice, I have the same book in its original thing, and then it's part of this other thing, and it's like a fraction of the thickness. It's weird how they can do that. So this Aquaman and then Stranger Things, The Other Side, it's called?
Yeah, we have more of that coming back in because we've sold out of everything Stranger Things after the third season came out.
Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep, the trade paperback. Trade.
And looks like you've re-upped on The Boys in anticipation of the new Boys series.
Yeah, the they
volume
have,
one, volume two.
They have reissued it. I missed it the first time it came out, but it's been reissued in these big old omnibus editions. I believe it is three or four for the entire series.
And also Klaus by
Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison and Dan Mora, who is the artist of that Once in Future comic that we liked so much from last week.
Yeah,
that's all of the trades.
Awesome. If you've made it this far, also, I probably should have said this at the top of the of this thing, but we have events coming up. We've got Sean Murphy signing White Knight on Saturday, August 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. That's going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
We've got and we also got in his weird little Vinmate. They made an action figure, like the big oversized Mini-Mate, the Vinny-Mate.
The vinyl Mini-Mates.
Yeah. We got his White Knight.
Cool.
So we have a couple of cases of those that we'll pull out for the event, have him sign those, and, you know, issue two will be out, et cetera, et cetera. And then September 13th, September 14th, Christian Dabari will be in the store for a signing of Rad Wraith, and
nice.
We're going to have all that stuff, and that'll be very exciting. And those are the things. And hopefully, if I can get, I'm beating my head against the wall with the Nick here, but fingers crossed, something's going to happen, and we're going to be able to get a showing of Haunt with our friend Damien. But I don't know what's going on.
Is that a new film?
It's a new horror movie produced by Eli Roth. Involves the Quiet Place people, I believe. And Damien is, again, a masked killer in it. I think his third at this point, and I think he's going to play another one soon. He really is racking up credits as a masked murderer. But
He's the Janos Prohaska of masked killers.
He is definitely going that route. But hopefully we can get that secured. If so, that will be September 6th. You know, and if you hear this and you're local, call the Nick and say, hey, why isn't Haunt playing? Why aren't we getting a premiere where fucking Damien's going to dress up in the suit? He has his robes and everything from the movie.
Damn.
So, damn it. Come on, let's do this.
Don't tell him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, they just show up.
During the film. Yeah, wait till the jump scare part. And then
exactly.
Just like fall or something. Like, no, it's the killer and he stumbled.
Yes. Also, apparently he fell down constantly in this movie.
Oh, like, is it hard to see in the mask?
No, he had like really long robes and they finally had to cut them off and start shooting him a little higher because he was like just constantly tripping over them. There's like hundreds of scenes of him falling down, which I can't wait to see.
Oh, that's cool. Does he get to see the outtakes?
Yes.
That's cool.
Anyway, so those are the things.
Yeah, so many things.
Come check it out and follow us at Actually Comics on Instagram.
Yeah, I didn't post anything last week.
Coast City Comics. At Coast City Comics on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
CoastCityComics.com to buy some comic books. Blarg, BLARGH! For free shipping. And we will see you next week.
Bye.